Well, thank you for joining us, you that are listening this morning, on this March the 22nd. Mike, you look like the north wind has just brought you in.
Joe did. It's about springtime, and yeah. I'm ready for it, too.
You got that old John Deere tractor where you...
I got it, buddy. I got it.
Him out there.
I finally got it where I can get in the garden without getting stuck.
Oh, boy.
All this rain, man, rain. Bring it on.
Well, but we're delighted that these guys, and we'll tell you who they are. They'll tell you who they are in just a minute. But we also want to tell you that we're talking about the Holy Vocabulary, and the book says unpacking the language of faith. I didn't like that too much, so I said unveiling. I'm going to get them to vote on that in a minute and see if that's all right.
In other words, we're going to talk about faith today, huh?
Well, we're going to talk about the language of faith today. We are going to talk about faith. Last 2 weeks ago, we talked about holy. Three weeks we talked about holy. 2 weeks lost, and last week salvation. But what it amounts to, these are words that we Christians use, and we understand what we think we're talking about, and we don't know though when people listen to us, maybe they're lost. They don't know about Jesus, don't know about what Christians believe, so we want to try to explain it to them as we try to teach. So I hope you, and we'll review on the lessons as we go along about what we think these mean. But holy, lost, salvation, and today faith. And if you want to get your Bibles, and if you're driving, don't do it, but Hebrews 11 would be where we'd be going to today. The first six verses of Hebrews 11. And so if you'll join us that way and just listen to us and pray for us as we try to teach what God's laid upon our heart about this lesson. And we appreciate it very much. You pray for us as we do. Let's tell them who we are right now. Pat, you're sitting to my right, and we'll start with you.
Yes, sir. My name is Pat Powell, pastor at Gordo Baptist Church, and glad to be part of the study today.
I'm Mike Hall, pastor at New Salem Baptist Church in Reform, and I, too, am very honored to be here.
And I'm Brandon Pinion, pastor of Moores Bridge Baptist Church, and I'm thankful to be anywhere.
Well, and I'm Herschel Owen, and I'm amongst some esteemed pastors, because I'm not pastoring anywhere right now. But I am from Gordo, and I do. I have been saved. I'll give you some relief on that.
There you go.
I could get a testimony maybe from one out of these other two, that other three, that they think I'm saved anyhow. But we have a good time. You know, it's great to be a Christian and study God's Word and just have fun while you're doing it, and that's what we... that's what we do. And so we thank you for listening to us and praying for us. And we're going to now have a word of prayer and pray for the lesson and pray for us as we try to share with you. Brother Mike Hall, would you lead us in our prayer?
I'll be glad to. Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity to proclaim your word, Lord, and to talk about something near and dear to us, and that is the faith we have in you. God, we just ask that you give us your wisdom today as we try our best to help folks to better understand that word faith and what it means and what it can mean to them now in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. All right, Brother Pat, they warned you. You were to my right.
I know it.
That means you read.
That's the hot seat for the reading,
that
right?
Is. And you do read in English, don't you?
I do.
Okay. Well, if you would read that first section, Hebrews 11, 1 through 3.
All right, Hebrews 11, 1 through 3. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear.
So again, I won't go back and say again that we are looking at words that we Christians use to describe our faith and describe our relationship with God and what God's done for us and what we have in our relationship with Him. But I will tell you that the situation with these Hebrews, they were having some hard time. These are Hebrew Christians, Jewish Christians, that had been converted to Christianity. And they were going through some hard times in their life, and they really wanted to go back to Judaism. They wanted to scrap this Christianity stuff and go back to Judaism. And so there is a question in some folks in mind about who the writer is. Personally, I think it's Paul. But if somebody else thinks it was somebody else, that won't bother me at all, because it's the Word of God, whoever was used to share it. But anyhow, now, just as a matter of starting out on faith, is faith just a Christian word?
No, it's not. And I like what the author of our material says here at the top of the page, just above where Pat read a minute ago. He said, we can confidently trust in what God says and does. Now that pretty well sums up faith.
But you know,
taking God at His word.
Right. Yeah.
But you know, if you want to just get plain technical on the word faith.
No, it's not necessarily an exclusively Christian word. There are a lot of people that talk about
when
faith.
When I was in service, I flew airplanes, and they're heavy, the kind I flew, and they got don't have too long wings on them. And you look at one of them rascals that weighs thousands of pounds, and you say, there ain't no way in the world that's going to get in the air. No way in the world could you throw something up in the air like that. But I scrapped in it, and lined up with a runway, added the power, and sat back and waited for the speed to come up, pulled the stick back on it, and guess what it did? It climbed up in the air. But it took faith to do that. Now let's come back to just a simple one that everybody understand. What about when you go down the highway, Pat, you're driving your car, minding your own business, it's nighttime, and you got headlights on the front. How far down the road can you see in the dark with those headlights, reckon?
Well, I mean, a few hundred feet, maybe.
And yet, you get up to about 55, I know you wouldn't go more than 55.
No.
And but it don't take long to run up to get to the end of that few hundred feet that you
absolutely
can see. And now you don't know what's out there when you first start that run in it. That's faith. You believe that when you get to there, your lights are going to show you another few hundred feet, and it's going to be clear, and you go on. That's faith.
Uh-huh.
Doctor says take two spoonsful of this medicine and go to bed, and you do it, don't you, Brenna?
Yeah.
What is that, faith?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's the action of the good medicine.
But when you drop them pills in your on your tongue, and drink a little water with it and put it down, you believe it's going to help you.
Yeah.
Or you wouldn't have paid that awful price for it, those pills in the first place.
Amen.
Well, the author pretty well states what faith is: the substance of things hope for and the evidence of things not seen. So, I mean, there seems to be nothing there.
Right. But faith.
The substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen.
Right.
And I mean, where are you going to get evidence?
Well, it's the substance. The faith is what gives substance to things that are not seen. You know, because if you look at it and you say, well, okay, there's an old boy on my left, you know, that he don't believe God exists, but the boy on my right that believes God does exist.
You don't believe God exists, now,
man? Hey, I believe God exists.
We got the wrong man in this place.
If that were the case, then neither one of them could actually physically see God. But the one to the right who believes has substance to his faith, because he does believe it. And so therefore, if a baby is born that day, he says, wow, God did a good job on this baby. You know,
and what is substance, Mike?
And the substance is what makes it actually have reality.
Well, another word is also assurance. You know, mm-hmm. that it's the assurance yeah. of things hoped for.
Right,
you
right.
know, I think it kind of that ties in, and I guess we'll probably get there at some point, but the idea of we walk by faith, not by sight.
That's right.
It's not a sensory thing in terms of these physical senses that we have, but it sees beyond that.
Well, mm-hmm. Herschel in his airplane flying a while ago was talking about he lets it get up to speed, then he pulled back on the stick. What if he didn't pull back on the stick? Would the plane ever get airborne?
Well, it really would. I'm going to shoot you down.
That's what, okay.
Because that thing's designed to fly, and when it gets fast enough, there's enough wind coming on those wings, it's going to come up. It wouldn't come up like it's supposed to.
Right, and it wouldn't behave like it's supposed to, necessarily.
It'd crash into the trees.
It would hit something.
It'd likely run you off the end of the runway, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But what I was going to say is that God can fly without us, all right? But if we're going to have the kind of life that God intended for us to have, which is a abundant life, he tells us so, then the faith comes into play. And when we start to behave with the faith that we have in God, then that life can materialize and it can have substance. It can be something.
Yeah.
We can be something.
Well, I've labeled this first section, Faith's Important. It's pretty important what you've just said, what all of y'all just said. Pretty important.
Mm-hmm. It is.
And, of course, the fact that God said it. Now, substance, I'm holding my Bible. Man, I can feel it. It has a weight to it.
Right.
But now, if it didn't have any substance, it wouldn't.
Absolutely not.
You could say, I believe, Mike, all I believe you got a Bible in over there.
Right, but I don't.
But you don't. Because there ain't no substance over
there.
There's
no substance over here.
But I have faith to believe you're going to teach the Word of God. And I have faith to believe that it's going to be just as real what you teach as what comes out of this book. Now, that's faith also. I don't see no germs in this room.
But they're there.
They're here.
Absolutely.
I saw yesterday a young girl down at the Dollar General where I do most of my heavy shopping. she was wiping the counter off with some kind of disinfectant.
Yeah.
And I looked and I said, "Are you getting the dirt off?" She said, "No, sir, I'm getting the germs."
That's right.
Well,
that's right.
I said, "I don't see no germs."
Uh-huh.
Because I studied this lesson. She said, "Yes, sir, they're there.
They're there."
Yeah, so that's faith. I don't see any germs in this room, but they're here.
Yep.
And
then you also have faith in that disinfectant that it's going to kill them germs that's there.
Right.
And then you can go ahead and do your business.
So when God said some things, and when we believe it, have any of you ever seen God? Have you ever had him over for lunch at your house, Pat?
No.
No.
Do you believe there is a God?
Oh, yes, sir.
That's faith.
I know there is.
I do, too.
Because of the substance. I've seen his hand at work.
Yeah.
You know, and I've seen the things that he's done in my life. And I believe electricity exists.
Yes,
because I've seen it light up a light bulb.
I've seen it light me up.
You believe they're in the wind.
I do, because I've seen it move the trees.
That's right. So faith is something, really, when you think about it, we all really are familiar with it. But now, when you get over in the area of God and trusting God and believing in God and committing to God, it really takes a different kind of faith. The devil don't mind me believing in wind. The devil don't mind me believing in germs.
Why, he don't even mind you believing in that there is a God.
No. But what does he mind?
He minds if you put your faith in God and live for God and not to glorify Satan.
Exactly right.
That's what he minds.
So faith, then, makes things you can't see, things you can't envision in your mind. Well, you can envision it in your mind, but things that otherwise you can't touch, you can't feel it physically like you can my Bible, but it's real. And the things you believe in, if you believe in God, and if you believe in his son. Now, yesterday, Michael, you preached a message, and it ties in with this, what we're talking about, for by it the elders obtained a good report. You preached a message about in the Old Testament times, they'd take a four-legged lamb.
Right.
Tell a little bit about that.
Well, they'd take a four-legged lamb, they'd take and bring him into the temple. They examine him, make sure he didn't have a black hair on him, meaning he was without spot. That would make him
pure. He didn't have a skinned leg.
He didn't have a skinned leg, didn't have a runny nose. And so he would be without spot or blemish. And then they'd bring him into the temple, and the priest would take a sharp knife and slit his throat, let him bleed out, and the blood would go out through the drain down into the Kidron Brook and down through the Kidron Valley out of the way of the temple. And then they would sacrifice that lamb. Of course, the priest would keep a choice piece or two of it for the meat for the temple, and they would sacrifice the rest of it to cover the sins of the Jewish people.
Okay, now Mike, this me and you, Pat and Brother Pinion here, reasoning, that don't seem possible. I mean,
make sense to us.
And the elders said that's what God told them. But now, when they got through doing just what you said, where was any evidence in that? Where could they point at and say, there is the proof of it?
There's the proof that we made the sacrifice?
No, there's the proof the sacrifice did any good.
That it did any good. Where's the proof of it?
What about in the New Testament when the Lamb, I heard you say about the Lamb.
That's right. It didn't come until the day old John looked over at the hill and he saw Jesus walking over the hill and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." That lamb that they had been sacrificing in the Old Testament covered the sins, but it was a temporary covering, and it covered the sin. It didn't take them away, and the Bible clearly makes that point. It covers their sins. But when Jesus came, Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice of a perfect life lived without sin, and therefore his sacrifice was acceptable unto God to take their sins away and make them as if they had never happened. That's hard for me to understand, but it's wonderful for me to believe.
And the evidence that was in the blood.
The evidence was the blood. From the beginning of Scripture, it tells us that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. And the blood of Christ is what causes us to know that our sins are forgiven, taken away.
So the final proof didn't come that evening when that priest got through the sacrifice.
No, that was just a covering,
but
a temporary
people
covering.
But believe it though.
They did.
For by faith.
They did believe it.
When that four-legged lamb was offered, do you guys all agree by faith? Now suppose I was out there and I said, "Listen, I ain't gonna give my best lamb." Over in Malachi, they did that. You know?
They did that.
"I ain't gonna give my best lamb. Here's one over here, old Shaggy."
Yeah.
Shaggy over here, he's got a few black hairs on him.
He's a little sickly.
His hoof. He was born deformed. He ain't much good for anything else. Pat, I'm going to take him down there and let him offer him. You know, he got blood in him.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to take him down there.
And he is a lamb.
And as far as I can tell, he'd do just as good as any other. In fact, be honest with you, I ain't going to tell the priest this, but I don't believe that's doing one bit of good for him killing that poor little lamb anyhow. So it took faith.
That's right.
For a man to pick out his best lamb.
That's right.
Perfect.
And blemish.
Perfect lamb.
Carry it down there and say, "Okay, you do your thing now, and to cover, C-O-V-E-R, my sins, until the real Lamb of God comes along that will remove them and pay for them."
Yeah, it's taking God at his word. I mean, that's the thing, you know, even in, like it says, you know, even in that verse 3 that we read, by faith, we understand the universe was created by the Word of God. I mean, what evidence can you provide that is the case? I mean, we know the world is here. I mean, we're in it. We can look around. We can observe it. We can test it. We can do all kinds of things. But why is there something instead of nothing? Why is there a creation? You know, well, the biblical answer is that God created.
Right. And he upholds and that's the faith answer.
And somebody says, well, prove that. How can you prove that? Well, I believe that by faith. I take God at his word.
Yeah.
And
I ain't much of a carpenter, but I could build a rabbit box or a chicken pen or something. But you know, I never did build one and just reach out in thin air and get something, or just say out loud, chicken pen, be there.
Uh huh.
And then I could have stood there till I fell
over my. So your chickens had flown all the way to Tuscaloosa and they still wouldn't be.
The foxes would have eaten them up. So there's the faith part is, how can something come from nothing?
I was watching I like to watch, you know, how it's made and scientific stuff sometimes. I was watching the Smithsonian channel this morning just for a few minutes. They was talking about the beginning of the universe, and their theory was the Big Bang.
Mm-hmm.
And they were showing all the trillions of stars and planets and all of the stuff that's out there that we've, you know, never discovered. They were talking about the magnificence of it and all that stuff. And everything traced back to the Big Bang. Well, what was
it there to bang?
That's right. You know, I mean, you can just say, okay, bang, here it is. Well, what did it come from? I mean, we're talking about trillions of scattered out for trillions of miles all over this.
Only God knows him.
And so when I look at that and I thought, wow, it actually takes more faith to believe in the Big Bang than it does to believe in God.
Yeah. Right. That everything came from nothing.
That's right. That everything came from nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he did make one comment that I thought was very noteworthy. He said, from the time of the Big Bang, there's true evidence that things were designed. And I thought, okay, come on, guy. You're one step away.
It looks like some intelligence put this together.
That's what he was saying. And
keep
he said, I said, just take me one more step now, son, and you'll be there. But he wouldn't do it. He wouldn't do it. Yeah, from the time of the bang, and there it was. Okay. God said, let there be. And there it was. But he wouldn't take that step. So to me, you know, there's faith. He had faith. He had faith in Big Bang. He had faith that you know, something that I cannot see. Anybody could not see the hand of God in a leaf on a tree.
Right.
Certainly in a baby bee.
Well, and the precision.
Yeah, absolutely.
Of it, of the after effect, let's say. How much in its rotation has the earth varied around the sun and all these other planets that are there,
right,
that we have identified and are evident at night when we look up
and see some of
the stars.
Yeah.
How much have they varied?
I'm scared to death
they're going to
run together. They're going to run. They've been all those thousands of years, but they're bound to run together.
Sooner or later.
Well, that's my point. Herschel, after the creation, right? Let's say after the Big Bang.
After this bang, yeah, okay.
It just, here it is, boys, and it's been there forever.
Nobody controls it, so.
That's right.
That
don't make any sense.
That principle, they call it the anthropic principle, that it looks like, you know, it our world has been so finely tuned to support and sustain life as we know it.
That's right.
That it would seem like somebody would have had to do that on purpose.
Yeah, it does.
And
yeah.
You know, it tilts like, on its axis.
I mean,
exactly
our summers,
right.
Our falls, our winter, our springs, and all in evidence of the sun, that all this comes about. That didn't just happen.
I'm looking out while we are recording this. I started to say taping it, but that would have put me back in the old days. But recording this Sunday school lesson, and I'm seeing a yard that pretty soon there's going to be some grass come up.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
How does it know when to come up?
Uh-huh.
Well, that's the reason for the axe. I mean, the tilting on at the axis of the earth.
But how did that happen, Brian? I mean,
well, it happened because God told it to happen.
Okay.
What do you think you say, Pat?
I was going to be a smart aleck. I guess the universe told it to do it.
The universe, the Big Bang.
The Big Bang did it.
Well, and if you go with the Big Bang, you got to go there. See?
But anyhow, dear people that are listening, if I hadn't gone but through about the second or third grade, I'd have known better than what these folks that's got degrees as long as your arm down in their mind has missed. They miss that.
Yeah.
I mean, like you, one of you said a while ago, it takes a whole lot more faith to just believe in all that Big Bang and this coincidence of the grass coming up.
Certainly.
Coincidence of the sun coming up out of the east every morning. It didn't come up out of the west today, did it, Pat?
No,
sir. No, it didn't. It didn't. And it ain't going to come out of the west tomorrow.
I mean, I think this just points to the reality that I think everybody kind of knows intuitively, even if they would deny it. The words, but I mean, what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. There is literally more to this world than meets the eye.
Oh, yeah.
There is more to life than meets the eye.
Absolutely. Good saying.
And we know that to be true.
Absolutely, we know it to be true.
And anyway, and how do we arrive at that? Well, we arrive at that conclusion by faith.
The importance of faith.
Yeah.
My heart. One more second, I'm going to have to stop, guys. I got to have my heart to beat the next few minutes. And a few more seconds now, I'm going to have to have my lungs to take in some air. No.
They never think of it.
No.
Well, now, I hope you don't, because I don't want you to pass out of this life right here in front of us.
Well, now, I'm going to tell you something. If that wasn't the God that made it and timed it and set it in motion and built it out of nothing, that's exactly what I had to be doing.
Yeah.
Exactly what you'd have to be doing.
God took that little bitty baby y'all keep referring to and put into that little bitty baby those reflexes and that brain connection that tells it to breathe and tells its heart to beat. And, I mean, I'll be honest with you. I just don't know why everybody don't have faith in God. Like Pat said, or what they all said.
Absolutely.
I just can't understand it.
Well, most of them, Herschel, are living for the pleasures of this world.
That's right.
And to satisfy the evil side of everything that's going on now. And they don't think about God. They don't think about eternity. They don't think about death. I mean, if they really sit down and give death a good thinking, and the evidence that we see of what God has done and is doing, then I'm like you, they'd turn to Him. They'd have to.
Yeah.
Wouldn't have any other choice. That's the thing about it, that the razor's edge of faith is that either you believe or you don't. And it was like I was talking about this guy on Smithsonian who talked about the Big Bang, and he talked about how it looks like there was a design. And then, but he wouldn't take that next step, because if you take that next step and you say, well, okay, then there's God.
He is the designer.
Right, there is God. Because if you look at the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 1, the very first thing the Bible says is, in the beginning, God. Doesn't explain who God is, where God is.
And that's as far back as we can go.
That's as far back as we can go.
We can't go any further back.
That's right. That's
in the beginning.
In the beginning. And we can't. Well,
I don't even understand the beginning.
We can't even fathom what the beginning was.
Everything I know, I had a beginning.
Yep.
Y'all had a beginning. This recording device had a beginning. This paper that I put this outline on had a beginning. Started out as a pine tree, I think. Maybe, I don't know.
Some kind of tree.
But it had a beginning. I mean, I'm not used to things without beginnings.
Right. So there's the declaration, God.
God was there.
Either you believe there's God or you don't. If you look at the creation and you see in the creation there is a design, then that means there's got to be a designer. And if there is a designer, then the designer is God. And if there is a God, then I have to cause myself to say, wait a minute. If there's a God, then I want to believe in that God. I want to have faith in that God. But once I make that jump, then I got to give up all this other garbage, and I've got to get my life in line with this God. And so that's the razor's edge of faith. Either you believe or you don't. Either you're saint or you ain't. I mean, it's just that simple. A lot of people want to say, oh, yeah, there's a God. But if you look over there I think it's in the book of Psalms, you know, Proverbs, where it says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Now, if you look at your Bible and you'll see the word there is italicized. That means it's been added for clarification. Mm-hmm. So in the original text, the Bible says, the fool has said in his heart, no God. Now, what does that mean? I sit at the table and I've got a slice of tomato, and I like salt on my tomato. Mm-hmm. So I get me some salt and I offer it to Pat. But Pat says, no salt, thank you.
Well,
now, it doesn't mean he don't believe there's no salt there. Mm-hmm. He sees the salt. He knows it's there. But he just doesn't want any.
He turns it down.
So that's the choice that too many people make. Oh, yeah, there's a God. I just don't choose to believe in him. I just don't choose to worship him. I just choose not to let him be a part of my life. And therein lies the majority of people, in my opinion.
God crimps their style. God makes them feel guilty of wrong things that they think is the best thing for them.
Right. And that's where the faith in Christ comes in. Yeah. You know, the Bible says, you know, that Jesus is there. Here's what he did. And the Bible teaches us all of that. Now, history tells us that there was Jesus. Mm-hmm. History tells us, records, that there was a day when this man died on the cross. Mm-hmm. And there was a day when they went and found the empty tomb. Mm-hmm. And there's a whole lot of folks who believe there is a Christ. But the Bible doesn't say believe that there was a Christ and thou shalt be saved. It says believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that literally means that you've got to put your faith and trust in him. And then, as Paul teaches us and other great writers of the Bible by God's inspiration tells us, that we are in Christ Jesus when we're saved. And there's the difference. You could believe there was a Jesus. Mama, grandmama, they took me to Sunday school, and I learned that when I was a little boy. But I may choose to believe on him or not. I may know that there is one, there was one, but I just choose not to let him be a part of my life.
Well, you can believe about him.
That's right.
Instead of believing in him.
That's right, absolutely.
And there's a tremendous difference in those two things. I can believe about Pat Powell.
That's right.
But then, somewhere along the way, because of his actions, because of his conduct, because of his character, I begin to believe in Pat Powell as an individual. Love, that loves the Lord, that's saved by grace, that follows him, that proclaims his word without apology. And then that changes our relationship. See, I believe about a lot of people that I've never met.
Right.
But when I haven't met them, I don't believe in them.
Right.
Until I've met them, and our relationship has proven itself to each other, and that's where my faith in Jesus is. When up until I was about 26 years old, I believed about Jesus.
Sure.
And I believed that I really believed that he was the Son of God. But now I didn't believe in him until I said, Lord, I want you to come into my life. I want you to be a part of my life. And I want you to conduct my affairs for the future.
Well, you know, I told you a while ago I flew airplanes in the service and all. I've seen people do crazy things, but by jumping out of a good running airplane.
Yeah, me too.
And depending on a little fabric thing to open up.
Right, yeah.
And to float them on down to the earth. I heard about this fella, his girlfriend wanted him to go in the service and be a paratrooper. Well, he even had a few questions about that, but he went on to please her. And the jump master told him, said, "Now, son, when you jump out, you count five. You reach over with your right hand on your left shoulder, take that ring and pull it," and said the parachute will open up, and you'll float on down, and there'll be a truck waiting for you to go back to camp, carry you back to camp. But if it don't work, reach over with your left hand, pull that ring on your right shoulder, and the reserve chute will open. So he jumped out, and he counted to five. He might have stuttered a little bit, he was so scared. And he pulled that ring. Nothing happened.
Oh, no.
He pulled the other one. Nothing happened. And one of his buddies heard him say as he went sailing by about 120 miles an hour, "And I bet you that truck won't be waiting on me either." He lost faith in this situation. Now, when he... And you know, it takes a lot of faith for me to get out of a perfectly good running airplane and jump out and depend on that little thing. Oh, man.
I bet it wouldn't matter to him whether that truck was there or not. It's been a few more seconds.
He's not going
to
be worried about the truck.
No. No.
He had done lost his faith in that one that told him all that, that jump master. But if you sum this up, I guess, the importance of faith. Faith gives reality to spiritual things. Whether you can see them or you can't see them. Is reality. Faith lets you know what you guys have spent several minutes talking about, that God's all over this thing of creation. He is the creator. Faith enabled the elders, even back when they killed a four-legged lamb and offered it, folks said, "Well, we believe, we have faith to believe that's going to do some good," until the real Lamb of God comes.
Right.
When the real Lamb of God came, it certainly gave the elders a good report. They said that they were right.
They were right.
They were right. They yeah. were right. Faith enlightens our understanding about God creating. To me, that is just a stated fact. It's just as real to me as this Bible on this table, or this book that I have it in front of me, or this piece of paper. God and what God has done is just as real. I don't know how God makes my faith work, but He does, and I believe that. And I believe when I shut my eyes the last time in death, I believe I'm going to be looking in the face of God.
Right, absolutely.
I believe that Jesus' blood, and we'll talk about and tell them how they can know that a little bit later on. I believe that. That's mm-hmm. what faith is.
That's exactly what faith is. Mm-hmm. And it gives substance then to the things that we can't see. Faith mm-hmm. does. Faith is that substance. Because, you know, you look around you and you can't see Christ. Well, let me tell you something. My old house I live in was built in 1834. It's almost 200 years old. If I live 14 more years, we'll have the 200th birthday of my house. Now, when I look at that house, I realize that there's been so many people that have lived in that house before me.
Yeah.
So I'm just its caretaker for the time being. You know, there's a deed says I own it, but I don't really own it. I mean, it's just my turn to live in. But some of these days, that old house will be gone. Mm-hmm. It'll be gone. One way or the other, it'll be gone. But my God will never be gone.
Right.
God and the things of God are the real things, the everlasting, eternal things. The things that we can see and hold in our hands are the temporary things.
Right.
But yet somehow, some way, and for some silly unknown reason, we mm-hmm. choose to believe in the things that are temporary rather than the things that are eternal. And how silly is that?
Yeah, very so.
Well, and that house, Mike, being almost 200 years old, if it had not had some maintenance along the way, see.
That's right. It would already be gone.
And that's the same way with our faith in God. There's got to be some maintenance along the way in order to maintain that faith and its strength to aid us in our daily life and in our walk with other people around.
And we're going to move to the next part about faith acceptance. It's got just one verse there. Pat's going to read in a minute. Verse 4. But the old song says, trust me, try me, prove me.
Yeah.
And that's the process.
Yeah.
I trusted him. I've tried him ever since I've been a Christian. And I proved him. I mean, right. It's just as real to me as, it's more real than anything I know of.
That's why people can have peace in the midst of otherwise terrible circumstances. You might say, there's good reason based on what we can see that a person would be undone.
Yeah. Right.
And in the midst of that, a person of faith will not only testify to, but even sometimes express and give evidence of a peace they have. It's like, how can you have peace when all this is going on? Right. Because I have faith in a God who is not tied to or limited by these circumstances that we see.
Was it Elijah's servant in the Old Testament that he's scared to death because they were surrounded by, were being threatened by the army?
Well, they were there. The army was there.
Yeah.
Well, there was another army.
Yeah.
What did the prophet tell this young fellow?
He said, he prayed that the boy's eyes would be
open to see,
and he could see.
And what did he see?
And all of a sudden, he saw just a multitude of the heavenly host all around him. Boy, there was these angels of God that were.
That was like when you was up on that highway in that
57 Chevrolet. Yeah, that's right. And I prayed all night long, brother. And the next morning, God showed to me when I laid my head on the pillow, and I said, "Thank you so much, God." And I could just see, as real as I see you, there was angels all around that 57 Chevrolet. There wasn't no way in the world. There wasn't anybody in the world that could have touched that thing.
No.
Nor us that was in it. And that's, that's God. And I love the story of where the servant went to get Isaac's wife. You remember that story?
Oh, yeah.
And the Bible says he went, he found her, and he was bringing her back. And he gave her jewels, gave her little things. And I can just imagine all the way back, every once in a while, she'd have little doubts or I don't know about all this. And he'd just hand her another nice bracelet or a nice necklace or something really pretty little trinket and say, "Now, this is from Isaac. He told me to give you this." And, God does that. If you'll just open your eyes and see.
He reinforces our faith.
All the time, God's doing things in our lives that nothing else could do that. Nothing else can explain it. And yet people just take it for granted and walk away. When that sun comes up in the morning, there ain't a human being on earth that can make that happen or stop it from happening.
Yeah, it's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
We can tell you what time it's going to happen. Whatever.
That's right. We can predict. We can say, but only God can make it. It does.
I can't build anything that is going to happen. This old watch of mine, I've had that. That's been a friend for years. But I haven't about ever really out for 3 or 4 hours. I set it up because it loses time.
Exactly.
But God's stuff never fails.
I watched a girl the other day, and this is a quick story, but it's amazing it's how God does. But I watched a girl the other day who's obviously dying. Her body's just right with cancer from one end to the other. And we've prayed for her, and she's, like myself, she's excited about going to heaven. She's ready to go. But the other day, the doctor came in and said, "All right, you can let the family know. If anybody wants to see her alive, they better get here. They better be here today because this is it. This is coming." And, we all just, we flocked in. Everybody came around. But the girl had always wanted a monkey. All her life she wanted a monkey for a pet. And one of the nurses, one of the staff workers, had arranged for a lady to bring a monkey to see her that day.
Oh, my goodness.
And nobody thought she'd ever see that monkey.
Yeah.
She's going to die today. The doctor said so. She's gone. This is it. But let me tell you something. About 3 o'clock in the afternoon, she's smiling and rubbing a monkey.
And that's something.
And here we are, 4 days later and she's still alive. You know, so human beings can only do so much. But God, you know, when you add that, but God, you find out that God can do so much more. I talked to a guy the other day. The doctor told him 13 years ago that this is it. We've done all that we can do. And told his family, called his family in for him to die. Stopped all treatments, everything else. 13 years ago. He hadn't had a treatment since. He's plowing his garden and he's doing his stuff just like everybody else. And that day he was laying on the bed dying. The doctor said it's over. See, God, when God comes on the scene, open your eyes and see what God's doing. And then you'll find that this faith is a whole lot easier because you see the reality of God.
That's faith's acceptance. That's read that verse 4 there.
But one of the things we have to accept, Mike, is that this is God's will for that individual.
Absolutely.
And you can't repeat that everyone else in the same circumstances.
No, he
is God, you know.
Because that's it. Yeah.
That's why Christ...
makes the difference.
That's why Christ, in the story of his ministry, never healed two people the same way.
Right.
You know, I mean,
it's not a cookie cutter approach.
It's not. No. And some he healed, some he didn't. Lazarus died. I mean, he rose again, but, you know, those are the realities of faith in God.
He died again, too.
Hebrews 11:4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh.
All right. Faith acceptance. Faith is like penicillin shot, or the more modern medicines for flu and other things that give Tamiflu. They tell me that stuff in lots of cases works, I mean, almost instantly.
Yeah.
But if you put it on the ship and say, doctor gave me that medicine up there in the medicine cabinet, Mama, and I'm gonna leave it up there. It cost me $4 to get that with my insurance. I tell them before they're not gonna do one bit.
Not a bit of good.
And faith didn't either.
No. Nope.
Unless we accept it. So let's look at faith's acceptance. What is one of the evidences of our having accepted faith? Notice that by faith Abel offered. What do we have to do to show that we have accepted what God asks us to do, that we do have faith?
Well, it's your life.
It's the motivational force in our life. You know, you kind of, anybody can say they have faith, but there's got to be evidence of that, and you see the evidence of it in your life. You know,
absolutely.
What did James say about faith and works?
Yeah. Faith without works is dead, he said.
It's not, well, that's the point.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a natural lifestyle type life. It's not, you know, I mean, I can act one way. I shouldn't tell this example, but I've seen young girls, you know, who, boy, they just eat a little old boy up and they love his mama and love his daddy and love everything he loves. And then when they get married, all of a sudden, she don't like the things he likes no more. And they done moved off to Timbuktu and she won't speak to his mama. And, you know, I mean, I can act one way for a while. I can do things that'll impress. I can make old Brown Opinion think I'm somebody that's really good. Good
but
guy.
I've seen you act a lot of ways.
but I can be not so good a guy. Mm-hmm. And that's the gospel truth. I love my grandma and she was as good a woman, I guess, as godly a woman as I've ever known, as far as I know. But I also know mama had her faults. So, you know, I mean, that's your natural lifestyle. You know, your natural, the way you act.
And you thought then one of the faults she had was the icarus wick.
It was. A peach limb she wore out on my rear end, and that was one of her biggest faults.
she was quick to hear her.
That's the way she'd get rid of some of mine.
Got your attention, didn't she?
That's right, that's right.
Well, a believing faith obeys God's instructions concerning an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. I can come up with all kinds of things that I could do, and we're going to find out. That's what Abel did. But a believing faith, if God says get a white calf, a white lamb with no black spots on him and no blemishes on him, that's what he means.
Exactly.
And if you're going to, if it's a believing faith, you're going to obey him. Excuse me.
Well, what I'm looking at here is if you were diagramming that sentence, Pat, down here at the bottom where it says, and by it he, who is the he?
God.
No, Abel.
Oh, you're talking about Abel. I'm sorry, you're talking Abel. About that verse you're reading. Yeah, okay.
So you got to go way back then. And there can be some misconception because the sentence just before that, God testifying of his gifts. Now, he's testifying of the gifts of Abel or God's gifts to man.
Abel. Uh-huh, yeah.
So, you know, that sentence contains a whole heap of good information if you'll sit down and analyze it somewhat.
But you got to do that on any scripture, I think, but opinion, you're right. Brannon, and going back to your sermon yesterday again, not Brannon, but Mike, going back to your sermon yesterday, look, I do believe I could get to heaven if I just live a good, godly, nice life, and I treat Pat right, I treat you right, and Brother Pinion, mm-hmm. I never did steal anything from y'all. I never have shot you. I never have talked about you.
Yeah, but you may have wanted to.
Well, does that count?
That counts. It all counts.
But why is it that I can't get to heaven and I can't please God unless I go God's way? And what's God's way?
God's way is perfect. And we are far short of perfect.
What did Jesus say, what you said yesterday?
I
am the way.
Oh, is that what he said?
He did say that.
In other words, Jesus is the way. Not Mike is the way.
So my good, I've just bragged on how good I am.
That doesn't matter. Because your way don't get you there. It's only through a perfect sacrifice can you get there. That means you cannot stand before God. You cannot come into God's presence unless you are righteous. That means perfect, without sin, without blemish.
Well, I want to ask Pat this, because he used a big word a while ago. I don't know if I remember what it was, but it was a big word. But what was the difference, Pat, and there may be some differences of opinion here, what was the difference in Abel's sacrifice and your brother Cain's?
Well, I mean, you look at the text, we're not told, you know, explicitly what it is, but I think, to me, it seems, just taking the clues from this, there was obviously some difference about them because of the way God responded to them. And it seems to me that you had Abel who brought to God the best, whereas Cain did not seem to respect God enough or the offering enough to do that.
And?
You know, and God, what God testifying of his gifts, I think in some sense, again, it's kind of God commending him for his, like, God knows. Like, I might look and think, well, here is Mike or here is Brandon bringing, brought their best. Well, they know, and God knows. More importantly, God knows whether that's true or not.
Right.
Right? He knows that's true of me as well. And Cain and Abel, maybe from our perspective, it might seem like, well, that's kind of unfair of God to do that. But God sees and knows what is in the heart.
But what is their best? Now, suppose I was a sweet potato farmer.
The best sacrifice is the blood sacrifice.
Can't get blood out of the turnip.
You didn't let me finish.
No, I didn't. Because I'm going to take a shortcut.
You did, and you cut it off, and I'm going to shut up. I think the story is going to be discontinued.
Well, yes, and I'm with Pat on that. You know, why couldn't I just bring the best I have? If the best I got is sweet potatoes. God required. God's way. That's right. God's way. God said, this is what I want. You know, and who has the right to say that but God? You know, I don't have the right to tell God what I'm going to give him, what I'm not going to give him. If God requires of it, then he has the right to require that.
Right.
And I agree with Patty.
And now he didn't say that in the scripture.
That's right.
He had down through the ages. I mean, it was an age after age after age, generation upon generation.
That's right.
That it had to be a blood sacrifice.
Well, I agree with Patty. It had to be his best, but his best had to be what God required.
And if you even look back to the beginning, when God got ready to cover Adam and Eve, they covered themselves with fig leaves. That didn't work.
Yeah.
God had to cover them with animal skins. And to do that, it required shedding of blood. So we have to acknowledge it's only God who has the right to require of us certain things. But I love the way the Bible goes from the Old Testament, requiring of blood sacrifices and so forth, as we've been talking about, for covering of sins. But in the New Testament, he doesn't say, thou shalt give $1 out of every $10. Thou shalt do... In the New Testament, he says, give it all. Why? Because Jesus gave it all. Jesus went to the cross and put it all on the line. And into thy hands I commend my spirit, he said to the Father. And then he said, it is finished. Why? Because he had fulfilled the requirements of a holy God. His sacrifice would not have been good enough for God had it not been everything.
But now, Mike, don't you think it counted when Jesus healed the eyes of a poor blind man, a poor little girl that was dead, and their father was grieved, and he brought her back to life? Crippled boys, people that were afflicted with various things that made them fall in the fire and burn. Those were good things. Couldn't Jesus pay for my sin doing those good things?
No, not at all. Those things had nothing to do with the sins. In fact, there was times when Jesus would look at the person who wanted to be healed and say, your sins are forgiven, before he ever healed them. Because it took care of the most important thing first.
Does it say in the Old Testament, or does it say in the Bible, there is no remission of sins without the shedding of blood?
That's exactly what it says. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. So Christ's blood was required, and Christ gave it. On the cross, he put it all on the line.
Well, an incident where the four men broke the roof open, and let the lame man down on his pallet.
Right.
The Lord said, thy sins be forgiven thee.
That's right.
Arise and walk.
That's right. Exactly.
And the sins were cleansed prior to the walking part.
The most difficult was taken care of first.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The most important was taken care of first.
And that's what it's easier to say your sins are forgiven, because it seems like, anybody can say your sins are forgiven.
And that's what Jesus
but,
said.
But it was more costly to provide forgiveness than it was.
Yeah.
But then, as like he said, but so that you know I have authority to do both.
I had a fellow call me yesterday morning and said, oh, preacher, you're going to have to forgive us. We're not going to make it church today because I got problems. And I said, listen, you don't need you calling me for forgiveness. I said, because my forgiveness don't mean nothing.
They don't go far.
I said, you need to talk to the only one that can really forgive sins. You know, there ain't no way that's going to work.
Listen, we got to hurry on. Do you know that we have run 58 minutes?
Yes, we have.
You better wrap it up.
You better.
Wrap it up quick.
58, two
minutes.
Well,
I tell you, it's a good way to end with these verses. Hebrews 11, 5 and 6. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
So, as we as we have 1 minute left, we got to tell this folks very, very quickly, and this is the most important part.
Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Put it all in his hands. There is no other way. Just bow your head right now before God and acknowledge, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the only way to heaven. And I right now want to receive him as my Savior. And I put my all, my everything into his hands. Lord, thank you for saving me.
And that is all that is required.
Absolutely,
with your faith,
genuine
you
faith.
You mix that with your faith to believe that what you're saying, you do believe, and that what he said he would do, he has done. And then we're here to tell you, you will be saved. Join us next week right here on the radio.